The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 3. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on April 26, 2016, in Vrindavan, India.
So welcome to everyone here in Vrindavan and also on the internet for this morning's Bhagavatam class. Today we're continuing on where we left off, and I'm doing a little mini-series here. This is actually speaking from the canto number 3, chapter 5, Vidura's Talks with Maitreya. We read, first of all, how he met this great fathomless sage, Maitreya. That was the first verse. Then now we're going to the third verse, text number 3. So this is 353 Bhagavatam.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Janashya Krishnat Vimukyasha Daivat Adharma Shilashya Su Dukitashya Anugrahaya Iha Charanti Nunam Bhutani Bhavyani Janardanashya Janashya Krishna Vimukashya Daivad Adharma Shilashya Sudukatashya Anugrahaye Hacharanti Nunang Bhutani Bhavyani Janardanashya Janashya Krishna Vimukashya Daivad Adharma Shilashya Sudukatashya Anugraha yeha charanti nunang Bhutani bhavyani janardanasya Janashya Krishna vimukashya daivad Adharma shilashya sadukatashya Anugrahaye hacharanti nunang Bhutani bhavyani janardanasya Janashya of the common man. Krishnat from the Supreme Lord Krishna. Vimukashya of the one who has turned his face against the Lord. Daivat by the influence of external energy. Adharma Shilashya of one who is engaged in irreligion. Sudukitashya of one who was always unhappy. Anugrahaya, due to being compassionate towards them. Iha, in this world. Charanti, wander. Nunam, certainly. Bhutani, persons. Bhavyani, great philanthropic souls. Janardanasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, great philanthropic souls travel on the earth on behalf the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to show compassion to the fallen souls who are averse to the sense of subordination to the Lord. Purport. To be obedient to the wishes of the Supreme Lord is the natural position of every living entity. But due only to past misdeeds, the living being becomes averse to the sense of subordination to the Lord and suffers all the miseries of material existence. No one has anything to do but render devotional service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Therefore, any activity other than transcendental loving service to the Lord is more or less a rebellious action against the Supreme Will. All fruit of activity, empirical philosophy, and mysticism are more or less against the sense of subordination to the Lord. And any living entity engaged in such rebellious activities is more or less condemned by the laws of material nature, which work under the subordination of the Lord. Great unalloyed devotees of the Lord are compassionate towards the fallen, and therefore they travel all over the world with the mission of bringing souls back to home, back to Godhead. Such pure devotees of the Lord carry the message of Godhead in order to deliver the fallen souls, and therefore the common man who is bewildered by the influence of the external energy of the Lord should avail himself of their association.
Is that a philanthropic work?
Tell me?
Is that a philanthropic work?
Yes, that is the ultimate philanthropy, to give Krishna. That is transcendental philanthropy. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Vadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakandvitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadishatarine. Very, very profound words from the lotus mouth of His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Astatarizat Shishi Madesi Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. The natural position of every living entity is to be fully obedient to the wishes of the Supreme Lord. That means whatever Krishna wants, that's what I want to do. I just want to satisfy Krishna's desire that my every thought, my every word, my every deed in all times, places, and circumstances should be just to satisfy whatever Krishna wants. That's the natural position. That is called sanity. Any state of consciousness, even slightly deviated from this pure state of wanting to do nothing but satisfy the wishes of the Lord, is a rebellious nature. It's actually being unnatural. It's like a fish trying to enjoy on the land. You can give a fish all facility on the land, you see. Give him a nice Rolls Royce car, a beautiful movie star wife, give him a nice Beverly Hills mansion, you see. given him a recording contract with Capitol Records, but he can't be happy. Why? Because he's on the land. How can a fish be happy on the land? Can it happen? Can a fish be happy on the land? No, not possible. But if you put that little critter back in the water, immediately, he's swimming around in ecstasy. You ever seen a fish flapping in agony on the beach? If you pick him up, immediately he's practically on the verge of death, flapping in agony on the beach. But as soon as you toss that little critter back in the water, boom, he's just like ecstatic, swimming around. Back immediately, ecstatically swimming around in his natural habitat. So Krishna consciousness means be a fish back in the water. If you're in the water and you're thinking, I don't know about this, it means you're not really in the water. You're still on the land. You see? You're just dipping your toe in the water thinking, well, I don't know, the water seems a little chilly to me. You see? I don't know about this, Krishna consciousness. Zissi, the foolish fish, he's been brought to the, a kind soul has brought him to the ocean water, but he's only just sticking his fin in and thinking, well, I don't know. I don't know if I really want to go in that ocean or not, you see. So the question is, well, what should you do? We recommend just go ahead and jump in. I mean, you can always jump out, you know. Jump into the ocean all the way, you know. Why not? You can always jump out again. The land will still be there, you know. The material energy will always be there. If you're not happy with pure bhakti, you can always fall back to the material world again, you see. So we recommend you've tried everything else for millions of lifetimes. You tried being Lord Brahma. You tried being Lord Indra. You tried being all these different positions. You tried being a, you know, a businessman, a businesswoman, a, you know, a dog, a cat, an orangutan, an armadillo. You know the armadillos. You tried being everything. You even tried being the Indra Gopa germ. You've tried so many ways to be happy in this material world, but you were never satisfied, no matter what you tried. So if you've tried everything else, why not just try pure bhakti for a change? As Vishnujan Maharaj used to say, you've given millions of lifetimes to serve your spouse and your family. So just give one lifetime to serve Guru and Krishna and then see what the difference is. You've been serving your spouse and family for millions of lifetimes in so many different species of life, as a bird, as a monkey, you see, as a cat, as a dog, as a human being, in so many varieties of species. In the African jungle, you were serving spouse and family there. You've been trying so many ways to enjoy, but you've never been satisfied. So just make an experiment. Give this one life, completely absorb yourself in serving Guru and Krishna. Just throw yourself immediately, fully into the ocean. Okay, for this one life, I have no business except to serve Guru and Krishna, and that's it, nothing else. See? Whatever Gurudev wants, I'll do that. That's all. I'm just his sold-out servant. Whatever he wants me to do, he's Krishna's peer representative. Whatever he wants me to do, I will simply do that. Just for one lifetime, fully absorb yourself in serving Guru and Krishna. And judge the result. Throw yourself back into that ocean. Just go ahead. When the devotee picks you up to toss you back into the ocean, don't fight it. Just say, okay, I surrender. That's it. I surrender. When a devotee preaches to me, instructs me, I should just surrender to him. Give it a try. Give pure devotional service a try. Try it, you'll like it. And then when you really do this, you see, then when you really tune in, as I was explaining in video for the day coming out tomorrow, there's two ways you can tune in to a radio station. You can be approximately tuned in, or you can be perfectly tuned into that radio broadcast. You see? If you're approximately tuned in, you get a lot of static. Your radio, if it's not tuned in completely, you get a lot of ecstatic. You see? You get coming along with the broadcast.
Don't look at me.
But if you're perfectly tuned in, then there's no static. It's ecstatic. So when you're trying to go halfway into Krishna consciousness, you're not tuning into the radio station all the way, you see. You're getting so much static. When you tone in perfectly, you fine-tune that knob to where you're fully, purely tuned in, and then you're turned on, you're tuned in, and you're blissing out. You're blissing heavy at every minute, you see. So you just got to learn how to tune in. Fully tune in, 100% be tuned in. And then you'll be totally turned on to your eternal nature, which is naturally a devotee of Krishna, with no other desire for fruitive activity, philosophical speculation, or mysticism. You won't be attracted to fruitive activity, philosophical speculation, or mysticism when you're fully tuned in, because that taste far exceeds any other taste. Actually, there is no other taste. Everything else is simply poison, but we think that it's tasteful, you see. Just like that Richard Farina, he wrote one novel called I've Been Down So Long, It Looks Like Up to Me. So we've been tasting poison for so long, even though our nature is to taste nectar, you see. We've been tasting poison for so long, we start imagining the poison is nectarian. Sex life, intoxication, meat eating, gambling, you see. We start imagining that the poison is nectarian. Understand? So it's time to come out of the imaginary plane. You see? Come out of the make-believe world that sense gratification is bliss. Kick it out. It's not bliss. Sense gratification is simply poison, and there is not much more to be said in this connection. Kick it out. You have one happiness and one happiness only, and that's to be who you are. Why are you trying to go on being something that you're not? Just be who you are. It's so simple. You are a pure devotee of Krishna. That's your actual identity. So just purely engage yourself in Krishna consciousness. That is intelligent. So don't be fooled by the influence of the material nature. Don't be a befooled fool who thinks that this material sense gratification is very, very nice. It's not nice. Prabhupada explains here that out of compassion upon these poor souls who have been entangled since time immemorial in karma chakra. You see. They travel all over the world with a mission. They want to save all the fallen souls of this material world. They want to take all the fallen souls of this material world back to home, back to Godhead. They're even willing to take birth after birth to do that. They're not so much concerned about their own liberation. They're simply concerned that everyone else can become liberated. And because of that mood of compassion, which is purely manifested in their hearts, they're already liberated. They're already liberated. Such personalities like Srila Prabhupada, they can already see Krishna at every minute. They don't have to go back to Godhead to be in contact with Krishna. They're already fully in contact with Krishna. We are not so compassionate. We're not so exalted like Srila Prabhupada. But we can aspire to become like them. But let me become a pure devotee whose only desire is to bless the fallen souls of this world with Krishna consciousness. Now I'm simply interested in eating, sleeping, mating, defending, trying to come out of it and become a devotee. Trying to come out of it. Let me pray that I can come to that mood of pure compassion we read about in this, you see. These are the great personalities. I was very fortunate to get the contact of such a personality, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So now we must try to carry on that tradition of Prabhupada, be obedient to His instructions, for bringing this, manifesting this compassion towards all the souls who are suffering in the material world. Not being cold-hearted or indifferent to the suffering of the living entities, but sincerely wanting to help them. That is, we must come to that position. So we have a few minutes left. I can ask if there's any questions.
I have a question. There's a word compassion. Arjuna also was thinking, I mean, mine at the same time he was showing compassion. Prabhupada said that he's a devotee, he's a very compassionate. But his mood was completely selfish.
In the beginning?
Yes.
Right.
So how do you compare, what is compassion?
He was thinking, well, I don't want to kill my family members, let's just be tolerant. That is the normal mood for a devotee, to be tolerant. Actually, Arjuna is a great devotee. But when the order of the Lord is there, you see, that overrides everything. The saintly qualities are always manifested. That the Lord says, now you must kill these people. You must kill them. That's my order. You can think, well, Lord, we should be compassionate. You see, you're taking the highest principle is surrender to Krishna. And whatever Krishna orders, you carry that order. If He says to spare them, you spare them. He says to kill them, you kill them. That is surrender. Sometimes we're very sentimental. We think, well, I don't want to hurt this person's feelings. They really need to be corrected because they're acting really crazy. They're doing things the wrong way. They're creating so much trouble. But I want to be compassionate. I don't want to disturb their minds. Better just to be tolerant. No. Spiritual master duty, the senior devotees' duty is to correct the neophyte devotees and train them up in Krishna consciousness. Someone could sentimentally think, well, you know, Om Tat Sat, peace, shanti, shanti, you see. Or what Prabhupada was always correcting us. He would show his disturbance oftentimes, of what we were doing wrong. You see. So for some people have this idea of a guru is that someone he just twirls a lotus flower in his fingers and he just says, you know, Om Shanti Shanti. Just shakes his head like this a little bit. That's a guru, you see. Whatever you do, it's okay. Just, as long as you give your dakshina, you can do whatever you want. The guru just accepts everything. Whatever you do. No, the bona fide was that, no, that is nonsense. You must stop. You must give up that mentality. You must not act like that. This is wrong. He corrects you. Why are you such a nonsense rascal? Lord Chaitanya's guru is a perfect example. Ishvarapuri said, "Why you are such a fool, you can't understand Vedanta better than Chaitanya Hare Krishna." Lord Chaitanya got chastised by his spiritual master. So what's my position? I can't get chastised by my spiritual master? I can't get corrected? I feel bad if I get corrected. I don't want to get corrected because I feel really bad. So better just to stay away. That's stupid. One should be. Prabhupada was chastised one time by Bhakti Siddhanta. He was very enlivened and happy by that chastisement. When you're chastised or corrected by the spiritual master or by senior Vaishnavas like Guru Mataji, you should take it as a great blessing and become ecstatic. Wow, I've been trying to get out of this false mentality of being the Lord, and now Guru Mata is helping me to do that, or Gurudev's helped me to do that. See, one should be grateful. Look for those opportunities. Prabhupada said the student who is more chastised, he is advanced.
Why should we raise those kind of opportunities? What is the reason?
That is called compassion.
So should we act like that and then
So the question is, so should I first... Actually, sometimes that happens in Chaitanya Lila. Advaita Chandra started preaching Mayavadi, talking Mayavadi philosophy because he never got chastised by Lord Chaitanya. He was thinking, I'm missing out on the mercy. So let me start talking Mayavadi philosophy. So Lord Chaitanya will chastise me.
So are we advanced as Advaita Acharya, so we can do that?
Well, I'm definitely, you may be, but I'm definitely not. You may be, but I'm not.
I'm just saying, you are giving examples, so I'm just saying that are we as advanced as Lord Chaitanya to look forward to do the wrong thing? And
what do you think? Do you think we're as advanced as Lord Chaitanya or Advaita Acharya? What is your opinion, Sasi Bhushana? No, we're not? What is your opinion? We are or we're not as advanced as Advaita Acharya? Are we as advanced as Advaita Acharya? Huh? Are we as advanced as he?
I couldn't tell.
Huh?
I couldn't tell.
You couldn't tell? You need a lot of training. The answer is no, of course not. How you say you couldn't tell?
No,
you need a lot of training.
Because they think they are advanced.
You need a lot of training. You think we might be as advanced as...
I myself, I meant like Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj. How about you?
No, he asked you.
Oh, if I am as... No, I'm not.
No, he asked
him. Oh,
no. Anyway, okay. We're not as advanced. So, the thing is, we don't have to fake being a fool and a rascal, because we are fools and rascals. But Prabhupada said, always consider yourself a fool, but don't act like a fool. So we should try our best not to act like fools. Even though we are, we should try our best not to act. We should try to act intelligently, even though we don't have much intelligence, isn't it? Do you have much intelligence? No. Even though we don't have much intelligence, we should try to act as intelligently as possible.
You can find it out how much we have.
We know we're fools and rascals, but we're praying that we can do something right every now and then at least. We should try our best to do things correctly. That's my point. Don't be lazy. Don't be crazy. Do our best. Try our best to do things correctly. That's a thing. And if we do things, if we mess up and we get corrected, well, that's special mercy. Now, here's the questions coming in from the internet.
Why my internet is not connecting?
I don't know about your internet.
I have internet, 4 bars.
I don't know what's going on with your side. I cannot say. You may have come in after the questions were asked. I cannot comment on that. I'm not going to deal with internet issues right now. I have questions to answer.
This is not internet. This is it's not connected.
Oh, you're not connecting at all. Well, that means you're on the wrong channel. Somebody get on the right channel. Put it on your channel. I got questions to answer.
I don't know what is your channel. Is it
Channel? I'm on VrindavanNet.
Oh, okay.
I'm on VrindavanNet.
Okay, then I have to wait.
You can go to VrindavanNet if you want, and I'll give you the password.
Okay.
Go to Vrindavan now. Oh, here, you're on now. He got you on. Okay. All right, so...
And Rizal will tell me that I'm on.
Okay, let's see here.
No.
Bhakti Priya, Hare Krishna Srila Gurudev. What to do if the mind doubts these teachings and does not want to let us jump into the bhakti ocean? Kick your mind with boot. Kick that damn thing with boot and go ahead and jump in the ocean. Okay. Please accept Shama Kundadas. During the class, when the speaker is reading the purport, should we read it at the same time if available? Or rather just listen? Well, if it's available, you can read along in case you miss a word. There's no harm reading along with the purport. If you have it, it's nice to read along with the purport. I like to do that. If I get a chance, I like to read along with the purport.
With the speaker or on their own?
While the speaker is speaking. Okay, now, what is any other questions? Yes?
Gurudev, fruit of philosophical speculation and mysticism was grouped in with fruit of activity in the purport for...
They're what?
Mysticism and... philosophical speculation was grouped in with fruit of activity.
That's right. It's karma, jnana, and yoga. Yeah,
okay.
They're all deviations from pure bhakti.
Okay.
Now,
so it's not that philosophical speculation.
There is a type of philosophy. Prabhupada sometimes uses the term. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada distinguishes between mental speculation and philosophical speculation. So you have to learn by context. Here, in this particular context, he's talking about mental speculation, where you just... philosophical speculation is sometimes distinguished as being a bona fide activity. Krishna says, I am the taste of the water, then you try to analyze through scripture, what does that mean? How can I understand more deeply that Krishna is the taste of the water? Well, you can think, well, of course it's one of his elements. Krishna is within every atom, he's between every atom. There's so many millions and billions of manifestations of the Paramatma floating in my glass of water right now. So you can, that's called philosophical speculation. When you analyze according to scripture, you don't concoct any ideas. That is called philosophical speculation. Mental speculation, when you just concoct things, you know, I think I'm God. I think we're all God. That's mental speculation. So here, when Prabhupada says philosophical speculation, he's talking about mental speculation. Yeah.
So in connection with this question, Jesus Christ was mystic as well as a guru?
Jesus Christ learned mystic powers when he was in India from the yogis. Like walking on water, the yogis know how to walk on water. That's a mystic city called Lagima City. Become lighter than the lightest. So he came to India between the ages 12 and 30 and he associated with the yogis. He learned some siddhis. He learned how to do the siddhis. So he was able to walk on water. Now, we're not interested in these cities. Now, you may think, well, I'd like to go to the Himalayas and become the student of the yogi so I can learn to walk on water also. But you don't need to walk on water. You can take an airplane and cross the ocean easily, you see. So the cities are not really necessary. If you know them, like Christ knew them, then he used them to attract the people's attention so then he could preach to them, you see. Prabhupada sometimes showed siddhis, very rarely. This one time, for example, he was on the walk in India, somewhere between Delhi and Bombay. May have been here in Vrindavan, because we're actually south of Delhi. May have been here in Vrindavan he was walking. But anyway, the plane came flying over from Delhi heading to Bombay. Prabhupada said, that plane is going to Delhi. I said, no, Prabhupada. I mean, no, excuse me. That's right. He said, that plane is flying to Delhi. And the buddy said, no, Prabhupada, it's coming from Delhi on the way to Bombay. He said, no, Prabhupada said, no, that plane is going to Delhi. The buddies were, how can Prabhupada say that? And then all of a sudden, the plane did a 180-degree turn and went back to Delhi. You see? So Prabhupada sometimes would show mystic powers, but very rarely. You see? Very rarely. Very rarely. I know my godbrother, Satyaraj, he swears that Prabhupada was actually floating through the air one time in an arrival at the airport. He came actually floating through the air over to the Vyasasana. He swears it happened. He saw it. So sometimes... Maybe it's from too much LSD before he became a devotee. But in any case... It is possible the pure devotee, actually has all mystic powers, and he wants to manifest them. He can. He doesn't need to even cultivate them like the yogis work hard to develop. The pure devotee has all mystic powers. He may use. Generally, they don't show them at all. They're not necessary, but they do have them. So, does that answer your question? Okay.
17101 is your net or what? No, I am on the internet, but it's not connecting.
Okay, well, let's see if we can try again. Let's get Mataji online here. I have A17101. I have it right here. It's online. Let's see here. Where we go here? Settings. A17101. Okay. We should be getting you on here. Let's see. Start meeting. There we go. Start meeting. Appears to be offline. Join. Okay. All right. Any other questions? Oh, here's some more questions coming in. Well, that's trying to load. We'll see if we get the answer. Here's a question.
What is the moment of real love, happiness, and peace?
What is the?
A moment of real love.
What is a moment?
A moment of real love and peace.
What is a moment of it?
Yes, what is the moment of real love?
The moment of real love and peace and happiness is when you fully surrender to Krishna. When you fully, now I belong to Krishna, I've been rebellious for millions of lifetimes, Now I fully give myself to Krishna forever. I belong to Him. I have no business except to serve Him for all of eternity. That is the moment when you experience, when for the first time, after billions of lifetimes, that is the moment when you experience pure love, pure happiness, and pure peace. That's the moment.
Can you also say for someone who's not a devotee, who never heard something about Krishna consciousness?
Can you do what?
How would you answer this question?
Oh, they asked you. You can say that actually there is a Supreme Being and you're His eternal servant and you have been rebelling against Him for thousands and millions of lifetimes. When you actually agree to come back to your original position, like a fish going back into the water, when you agree to come back to your original position, then you will experience, in that moment, you will experience pure love, pure happiness, and pure peace. When you come back to being the eternal servant of that Supreme Person who is the source of all existence. Okay? All right, let's see if we've gotten on. I'm going to try a different domain for you, Devi. This A17-101 is not cutting the mustard here today.
There's no one else there.
No. Let's see if we can find... let's try it, because Vrindavanet is working quite well. I'm on Vrindavanet right now.
It's not coming.
Well, let's see if we can get him. See if we can get you on Vrindavanet. While we're doing that, you get her on your... Let me see if Vrindavanet is working. Get her on yours. Get her on your network. Okay, so now...
Maybe I can get on his network. Internet is there. I do not know why it's not...
I don't know either. It's a technical issue. I'm not dealing with technical issues right now so much. So, what... Let's see if this is the next question. Nandavardhana. Yeah. What should be the mood when we discuss the principles of Krishna consciousness among the devotees, the sharing mood or the preaching mood? Well, it depends. If it's your equals or juniors, if it's your equals, it's a sharing mood. If you're juniors, it's a preaching mood. It's like here, I'm speaking to my juniors in this assembly, so it's a preaching mood. I'm talking with my god brothers, it's a sharing mood. So if you're amongst your ikras, it's a sharing mood. And amongst your juniors, it's a preaching mood. But if you're giving an actual lecture, a formal lecture, that should always be in the preaching mood. Even if you're equals. Okay? Let's see here. Shridhar Das, my humble obeisances unto your lotus feet, Shri Gurudev and Shri Shrimati Guru Mata. A devotee told me that I must correct others only in terms of service when I'm engaged in. Given I've expertise in that service, rest of the time I must leave the corrections up to others, Guru and Krishna, and focus on my mistakes. Is that the proper guidance? Did he follow his advice when he gave you that advice? That's my question. My first question to you, was he following his own advice when he told you that? Answer me, you can answer me yes or no. Think about it. Was he following his own advice when he told you that? If the answer was no, then you can take it with a grain of salt. So you can answer. You can type an answer in for me, Sridhar Das. Was he following his own advice when he gave you that instruction? Now here's Shivani. Were the core of a demoniac? Why? Dhritarashtra's blindness was an impediment in his life. After all, blind or not, senses are always materially contaminated. The Kauravas were off the track. They did get off the track. And they violated the principles of Dharma. Now, Yudhisthira was the Pandavas were the rightful inheritors of the throne. And due to greed only, they usurped the throne. Especially Duryodhana, he inspired his father. His father was a little weak, and Duryodhana was very sinister. He manipulated his father into following a demoniac course of action. So the father wasn't completely demoniac, but Duryodhana was very demoniac, and he influenced his father was weak, and he allowed himself to be influenced by a demoniac person, Duryodhana.
Father was not demoniac. But due to the material...
Duryodhana was not demoniac?
I said father was not demoniac.
That's what I'm saying.
But due to his attachment to his son, he wanted to see his son's rule.
He was weak.
Due to attachment.
He says attachment to his son. That's material affection.
Yeah.
To the material affection, he allowed his son to manipulate him to act in demoniac ways. So you have to be careful. A family affection can cause you to do the wrong thing. You have to be careful of family affection. You have to realize family affection is a manifestation of the illusory energy. I have only one affection, and that is my love. That is loving Krishna, serving Krishna, surrendering to Krishna. Any other type of affection can be accepted if they are done under the instructions of the Lord. Any type of affection which takes me away from the instructions of the Lord should be kicked out with boot. It should be rejected. Okay? Did you get her online?
It's
okay,
online.
Good.
Yeah,
okay? Any other questions? Okay, here's Sridhar's answer. I think so, Gurudev. He gave the advice to me because I'd asked his opinion on when to speak and when not while serving. The real thing is we have a preaching mission to make the whole world Krishna conscious. And, I mean, there's certain things that I would really like to correct others on, but I don't do it. Just like, for example, the beards. Prabhupada told us to be clean-shaven. But I see that now in his absence, just like it is sometimes said, when the cat's away, the mice will play. Now become beards become very much a fashion among our men. And I find I'm very, very disturbed by that. But I don't go around, I don't just walk up to people. It's like I was coming back from the temple, one devotee with a huge beard and mustache, big, big, thick beard. You know, I could say, Prabhu, why do you have that beard? You know, Prabhupada didn't told us not to have the beards. Why are you keeping a beard? But it wouldn't be accepted. He would just be disturbed. So I looked for the proper venue to give instructions, just like I was thinking, well, in the class I can mention it. It'll be recorded. It'll be on the internet. And that way I can get the word out in such a way that it may not be they may not be offended by it. I know one time I published an article on the Krishna News site against the beards, and one, not a proper disciple, but a grand disciple, became very disturbed. He said, why don't you mind your own business? So sometimes we try to give instructions, you see, just like the beards. I object. Instead of the Hare Krishnas, becoming the Hare Krishnas, you see. I object very strongly to it, but I don't go, it's in my heart. I don't go around, you know, walking up to everybody with a beard and say, you nonsense, why are you keeping a beard? I'm training my disciples, my male disciples. They have to shave every day, you see. That was the standard. Prabhupada was told us not to keep our hair. As they say, one guy there was keeping the mustache, and Prabhupada questioned him about it. He said, well, Prabhupada, you had a mustache when you were a householder. You've seen the picture in the old Bhagavatam. It shows a Bhaicharan Day with a mustache, you see. Actually, it wasn't a Bhaicharan Day. It was a Bhaicharan Day. It wasn't a Bhaicharan Adivinda Das. It was my Papa said that was before my diksha. Before my initiation, I had a mustache. But after I got initiated, so somebody's not initiated. Okay, they're not initiated yet. But any initiated devotee should stay clean shaven. If they're keeping beard, they're disobeying Prabhupada's instructions, and it's happening all over ISKCON. It bothers me a lot, but I don't go around talking about it. I just look for venues where I can say it so the word can go out in such a way that hopefully the message will reach those. You know, I could go hand out cans of shaving cream and razor blades to all the offenders, but, you know, they would just think I'm some kind of kook. I'm some kind of a weirdo, you know, fanatic. They'll see me as a fanatic. They won't want to hear my classes. So the main thing is to preach in such a way that people will be attracted to your preaching, and then once they have faith in you as a mentor who can guide them, then you can point out so many things. So there is one, it's called discretion, as Tamal Krishna Goswami used to say, discretion is the better part of valor. You see, you have to be discreet in how you preach, so it's actually effective. Any other questions? Yeah.
surrender comes easier when we have the higher taste.
It's what? That
higher surrender comes easier when we have higher taste.
Absolutely.
And that higher taste comes when we put in that endeavor. It comes from Krishna.
Absolutely.
So, in what ways does he give that higher taste, and when does he really give that higher taste?
The higher taste, it comes in the very beginning, but it increases. In the beginning, you have... Is somebody paying you to chant Hare Krishna? You see? You're getting some taste. But the taste is very tiny right now. You're a neophyte, you see. If you go on chanting, as it is sometimes said, chanting is enchanting. So go on chanting and chanting and chanting. And this way you become more, and by going on with this process of chanting, you'll become more and more enchanted. So it's a matter of ever-increasing taste. If you don't commit offenses, you see, especially Vaishnava Prabhu, if you don't commit offenses, you keep the process going, your taste will just keep increasing, increasing. You do Vaishnava Parad, it's like a really, it's a heavy blow to impede your progress. But if you don't commit Vaishnava Parad, you're always respectful to Vaishnavas in terms of their positions, relationships with you. You keep chanting, and then the taste will increase, increase, increase. Over the years, it'll just grow and grow. It's called maturity. You'll develop a mature taste. For the name is become so sweet, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. It's become sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. So the taste comes 1%, 2%, 3% in this way. It grows and grows and grows, and it finally becomes 100%, and then Krishna becomes fully manifest. Yeah. Then you, it's like having a bank account, but the government froze your bank account. You have no access to your assets. Whatever advancement you make is your eternal asset, but if you commit offenses, your assets are frozen by, your assets are frozen. You've lost your access to your assets. But if you, when you repent for those offenses, you beg, and you recover from that offensive mood, come back in a proper mood of devotion, then you regain all those assets, access to all of your assets that were frozen because of your offenses.
Offenses are fences.
Huh?
Offenses are fences, as you had mentioned.
Offenses are fences. They block you from Krishna. So you have to tear down all the fences so you have unobstructed access to Krishna. Don't be a fool. Don't be a rascal. Use your intelligence. You see. Follow this process. As Prabhupada is giving it. And you'll have the most amazing awakening within your heart. Most amazing awakening. You come out of the dark night into the beautiful, you know, sunlight of Krishna. Purnarika, what is that in shloka? This Krishna consciousness, this Bhagavad Purana, is as brilliant as the sun. And it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Sri Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by knowledge, religion, etc. Those persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So, don't remain in the darkness. You take light from this Purana, you see. This knowledge of Bhagavatam, embrace it. Fully embrace it. Don't just dip your toe in it. Jump all the way into this ocean of Bhagavatam, and then you'll be swimming in the sweetest nectarian ocean for all of eternity. So we thank you all very much for tuning in. As always, remember, tune in, turn on, and bliss out. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.